Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Martinis and Murder.
Hey.
Hey.
That was lower. That was your Barry White.
Hey. You like that?
I want to get a few. Normally we do some housekeeping, as you say, right off the top, but I have a gripe that I need to just, this is Festivus.
Air
this is me airing my grievances.
This isn't just Martinis and Murder. It's a place for you to speak and open up to us.
And as you and the fans probably know, it's about Matt.
That's true.
It's always about Matt.
It always is.
And Matt's Instagram has almost 1,000 followers.
Now, last week when we updated this, he had, I think it was only like 300 or something.
So, granted, very happy that the fans are listening to us.
Absolutely.
But on the flip side of that, a little disappointed that the fans are listening to us.
Mm.
Because I didn't want them to follow him. I just kind of wanted them to send him hate mail, comment a few things.
And honestly,
but now they're like into him.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
Well,
for
and
me.
Honestly, I want to make sure everyone knows Matt did have a knife to your neck saying you have to tell everybody to follow my Instagram.
That's
last
fair.
Week. So
they don't know that.
Exactly. They don't know that. So you just had to do what your orders were at that time.
And we gave them incentive because
right.
The first 1,000 followers of his account get a follow back. And we got so many tweets about being like, is it good or bad? We're getting Matt to follow us back.
Right.
So there's only a few slots left for that coveted position of having Matt follow you back. Because once that's done, he's not following anybody.
Yeah. As of
he's going to be lazy.
As of this recording, he's at 922 followers. Which, by the way, all kidding aside, thank you guys so much, actually,
no, seriously,
for following along.
You.
We're excited about this account. And
he actually feels loved for once in his life,
yes.
And that's special.
That's the main reason we're doing this.
Yeah.
He actually posted a pic of himself on someone's swing, which even think was his and found it very creepy.
Is it your swing?
I cannot
divulge
that information.
And who took the pic?
Yeah, we don't know.
And did you
Darren.
Take the reindeer head home?
These are all the questions
These
I was saying.
These are fascinating questions.
I sleep with the reindeer head.
I knew you did. You shower with the reindeer head, which is why you stink.
I had the same thought. I was like, I saw this when I was away over the weekend, and I was like, did he really take that thing home, like, for the weekend or
like,
wherever he went?
Did you explain this to your children? Like, what's
There's
happening
so many,
there?
A lot of questions were raised in his latest Instagram post. Matt's leaving now. Bye, Matt. Thanks for everything.
Is he leaving because we're about to talk about the drink of the week?
Right. As of now, it's his time to jump in and talk, but he just left the room.
What are we drinking? And now I feel like I have to ad-lib.
Well,
and
we
that's
can,
a lot.
We can. Oh, here he comes. He's bringing our glasses. In.
Oh,
I'm not 100%
it's fine. What, are you going to pour them into our mouths? Like, why would you forget the glasses, Matt?
I'm not 100% sure these have been washed. Matt, can
they
you confirm?
They definitely haven't. They probably have caked on
okay,
graham cracker.
Okay, he just
cracker.
Smelled them, so now I'm definitely not drinking from them.
Wonderful. Matt,
wonderful.
Would you get on the damn mic and tell us what we're drinking today? It better
yeah.
be good.
And we don't know, so this is exciting.
He's got to open his dock.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
All right. Today we are having for a paranormal episode. Vampire martinis.
Ooh.
That is one part raspberry liqueur, one part vodka, one part champagne.
Mm.
And I have a little surprise I'm going to put in it for you, but I'm not going to tell you. You'll just have to see.
Okay.
On that note,
that makes us feel good.
Matt did kind of spoil the surprise.
If we die and this is our last episode, thank you so much to all the fans for listening.
Oh, we should also mention, I forgot, follow Matt on Instagram if you aren't already, at @Matt_the_bartender.
We didn't actually. Or don't. It's fine by me. I don't care.
I think it's fine. Yeah.
But follow us.
Exactly.
Just not Matt.
Jay Thrasher, Carpe Darren. All this information is in the show description, by the way.
This week is a little bit different, right?
Yes. We wanted to change it up. Matt did just kind of spoil the surprise. Thanks, Matt.
Jesus.
Or maybe you already knew because you saw the episode title, but we wanted to change it up a bit for this special Halloween episode.
Ooh.
So we are so excited. This is actually not going to be a murder type of episode.
Right.
I know our title says Martinis and Murder, but we wanted to do something different. I personally love Halloween. It's like one of my favorite holidays. It's my favorite time of year.
Are you dressing up this year?
I don't think so because I'm kind of busy on the weekends through October doing things, so I didn't really have any parties to go to this
year. What was your favorite Halloween costume that you ever went as?
Good question.
Didn't you go as McGonagall a couple years ago?
No, I was thinking, shit was sick. It wasn't McGonagall. It was, for all of you Harry Potter fans out there, I was Professor Trelawney.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, who is the divination professor who has these giant eyeglasses, and I had a big brown wig.
Totally.
And I really was excited to play her. So, but anyway, we do have some. What about you? Sorry, not to.
Best Halloween costume?
Yeah.
I went as a bubblegum. Like, and my mom made me a bazooka cape with felt, and then I got to wear a pink sweatsuit, and then she made a hat with, like, bubblegum felt kind of coming out of my head and put a Converse sneaker on top, like someone stepped in me. Very clever, mom. Shout out to my mom.
Yeah, your mom is at the Caroline show.
Yes.
Yeah, which, by the way, I don't think I got a chance to meet her.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah,
she
why
was
introduce
out.
You?
No, why introduce me? Who cares, right?
Am I allowed to tell you my favorite person?
Oh, yes. Well,
sure,
okay,
Matt.
Sure.
No, sure, participate.
Sure.
Thank you. So I went as garbage when I was.
Why does that seem highly appropriate? 364 days of the year?
Mm-hmm. And I had a black garbage bag, and I made a paper plate hat with garbage on top of it, and I had a tampon hanging down off of it.
This is a good time to go to our ads for feminine products.
Stay tuned.
I almost got sent home from school. And the teacher came up to me and said, "That is so inappropriate."
Oh my God.
I was like, it's a natural thing. Well, I mean, come on.
That's ridiculous. I think she probably meant that you're inappropriate.
You see those in garbage cans, right? I mean,
sure. How old were you, Matt?
Seven.
That's the problem, right? That's definitely the issue.
Like, trick or treat, I have a tampon on my head. I don't think that's really going to work.
Yeah, I mean, it fits you going as garbage.
I was actually older than that.
Okay. Well,
junior high school.
Yeah, that's
better. Still inappropriate.
No, that's so better. I like that you had a tampon hanging from here.
Watch out, Darren.
Oh. That definitely went right behind
your head. He aimed it to me. And by the way, need I remind you that champagne corks kill more people than icicles every year?
If you listen to our Caroline show, you would know this information.
Oh, my God. My severance would have been sick.
I just
want to
make sure. I just want to make sure everyone knows.
Joke's on me.
The cork flew right behind her head. I have a full view of it.
I dodged it.
Orange peels, corks, anything he can get his hands on will become a weapon.
Let's get started.
Yes, let's get started.
Because Matt, John and I actually have a lot of history with paranormal activity.
We do.
In our other podcast currently, we talk about how your old house is kind of haunted and there's spirits, and I freak out every time. And so when something like this happens, you kind of prepare me for it because you know I'm a big scaredy cat. So I'm very excited about talking about this paranormal stuff this week.
We should also mention we have three different parts that we're going to talk about.
Yes.
You're taking the first one. I'll take the second. I think we kind of split the third. But all of these things are spooky and creepy.
And in
the vein of the show, though. You know, it's not, they aren't murders per se, but they are in the vein of the show. So I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely. There we go. Perfect way to start.
Yeah, for our vampire martini.
I would say part one is all about demonic possession.
Demonic possession.
Thank you.
You're
very
welcome.
Annalise... Is it Michael? Mikkel?
Michael?
Michael?
I would say Michael. Matt, what do you think? You did some of the research this week.
I have no idea, but it's a German.
Mikkel? Let's go with Mikkel.
It's basically Michael without the A, take for what you will.
Yeah.
Annalise.
Yeah.
Mikkel is a German woman whose case later inspired the 2005 film The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Mm-hmm.
I only saw the original Exorcism.
Yeah.
Because it's... terrified me. I didn't need to see the remake, but I imagine it's very similar.
I'm sure it is, yes.
She was born in 1952, same as my mom.
Oh,
so that's my connection to the case. To a strict Catholic family who went to Mass twice a week. Her father almost became a priest, and three of her aunts were nuns. So you're heavy in the religiosity of this whole thing.
Well, I think this is the time where we say she's surrounded by religion.
Yes.
In every aspect, every family member. I mean, it's not like one person might have been a
nun. Which can be scary unto itself.
That's an opinion.
So it depends.
Yes.
It all started when Annalise was 16. She suffered what appeared to be a seizure and was diagnosed with temporal lobe epilepsy. So, you know, keep in mind, she's 16. She was born in 1952. This is 1968 now. Mm-hmm. Medicine is still, it's not the same time period.
And also, I know people who have had seizures, and I've seen people have seizures.
Right.
It's very frightening.
Right.
It's very alarming because it's just something visually is so out of the norm from everyday life, and there's nothing really that you can do. And it's so sudden. It can really happen at any point. So already we're kind of set up here for a little bit of a questionable story.
Certainly in 1968 or whenever it was. That's even more terrifying than today. So,
sorry. I just looked it up on the internet. It is Annalise Michel. Maybe it's a French name. I don't know. But.
Great.
Michel. Okay, I like that more.
Annalise Michel.
Well, by 18, she actually had her third seizure and was prescribed anti-convulsion drugs. They didn't stop the seizures, unfortunately, and around this time, the teen's condition worsened, and she began to seeing devil's faces.
It's crazy.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so there's that.
By the age of 20, she started to hear voices which told her that she was damned. Other voices actually told her to rot in hell, and she became hateful of religious objects like the crucifix. Mm. I wonder what it's like, you know, saying that she's damned, saying to rot in hell. That's a very heavy religious, undertones. I wonder how the influence of her family is affecting this
Definitely.
At this time.
I
mean, we just don't
thing.
Know, but it seems crazy. She spent some time at a psychiatric hospital. Her doctors tried giving her anti-seizure medicine, antipsychotics, and a mood stabilizer, but nothing seemed to work.
That's a lot of medicine to be taking and nothing be working. You know what I mean?
That doesn't seem great.
Yeah.
And this is like the early 70s, late 60s. So I don't know. I'm assuming the options were kind of limited on what they could provide in comparison to 2017. And also, this is possessed. You're not just having seizures.
Yeah.
You're saying that you're damned and rotting in hell, hearing voices.
And
terrifying.
Yeah, and to go back to what you were saying, you know, we have come a long way in not just psychiatric medicine.
Right.
But also just the understanding of psychology in general. So, like, I don't know that these types of conversations might be kind of considered the same way in 2017 as they were back then.
100%. I mean, the DSM manual has changed countless of times since then. So, it's definitely improved. Soon, she and her family actually suspected demonic possession. And when she didn't appear possessed, Annalise was sweet and loving.
Mm-hmm.
She, like Matt.
I was just going to say,
when he's not being Matt.
When he's not hitting us with corks and orange peels, he's a very sweet, loving man.
These next few points really hit home for me, and I think you'll see why.
Okay.
When she was allegedly possessed, Annalise would eat coal and bugs, bark like a dog, and even drink her own urine. Matt, are you possessed? Does this explain it?
Because these are similar patterns we've seen here in the studio.
Yeah, are you making us urinatinis?
Like,
is that the secret ingredient?
Put urine in your drink sometimes.
Well, there you go. HR.
So
Dan,
disturbing.
Dan, your wife is here.
So disturbing.
She actually once bit the head off of a bird. Now, granted, that's fucking weird, but Ozzy Osbourne basically did the same thing with a bat, so it could just be highly rock and roll. I don't know. But here's the worst part.
Okay.
Apparently,
mm-hmm.
she ate spiders. Now, let me repeat this.
Oh, my God.
She ate spiders.
Uh-huh.
Spiders, spiders, spiders.
Is written in the research notes here. I think Matt contributed to that, by the way. Spider, 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 spiders.
And then added, Darren loves spiders.
Well, I added that because I think that we should definitely bring this up now. I don't know if
arachnophobia.
It's arachnophobia. Not just like, oh, I'm a girl and I don't like spiders.
It's not like I don't want to kill a living thing.
Yeah,
it's like I'll move out of my apartment if I see a spider that's a quarter size or bigger.
Can I tell?
I'll freak out.
Can I tell a quick story about when you went upstate?
Remember? Of course.
Okay. So we kind of talked about this on our other podcast, but Darren when was this? A year or two ago?
Yeah.
You went upstate one weekend.
Yep.
You got a little cabin in the woods.
You guys had a romantic
getaway. No, Darren, I was not there.
Me and my girlfriend.
I was not there, but yes,
Darren. Got all excited.
Yes, you were so excited, as us New Yorkers who live in the city do about going upstate.
It's a chance to get some fresh air.
Exactly. And you pull up, and from what I remember, I might not be remembering it correctly, so obviously this is your story to tell, but you pulled up.
We rented a house.
You rented a house, right. And you walk up the steps and you go to the doorknob, and I believe there were spiders all over the doorknob.
My girlfriend goes up there and she goes, Darren, don't come over here.
Oh, that's right.
And I stayed in the car and I was like, what? And she's like, there's spiders covering everything.
Oh,
and she had
my
to
God.
Get one of those like ice picks, you know, that cleans off your cars. Thank
yeah.
you, Matt, to try and like swat them away.
Oh, no.
Needless to say, I wouldn't go inside. And I begged her to turn around, go home, and she had to complain to get our money back because I refused.
You wouldn't even
get
out of the car.
I mean, she supported me, granted. Like, she was in it, and she knew that I was justified. But
Thank you.
But holy hell.
That's really upsetting, and I'm very sorry to hear that. Matt has delivered our vampire martini, so cheers,
bitches.
Megan is in the room with us this week, helping us
that
with
extra clink.
The audio technology. By the way, it looks like the surprise in the vampire martini is a candy corn. Now, I don't like candy corn, but I'm sure in a vampire martini, it's fine.
Ooh.
It's not like something you're going to hear.
It almost tastes like apple juice. Are you getting that a little bit?
I smell that. Let me taste. There's a slight slurp for the slurpers of the show who like when I slurp.
Another good
show.
Spider story
That's
is
really
when
good.
I was 16 and I found a spider in my shower and I hopped out of the shower completely ass naked and went into my brother's room. No qualms. Went into my brother's room and I go, you pointed at him butt naked. And I go, you need to kill this spider right now.
Oh, my God.
Otherwise, I'm not getting the shower. Traumatized. He didn't date women for like 6 years after that, I think, because it was that terrible for him.
That's really scary. And I just want to mention, I was thinking about doing this. I have downloaded Halloween horror sound effects that I will interject throughout this episode as appropriate. So maybe this is you screaming when you saw one of the spiders.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
There was a series of curse words, knowing me,
right?
That followed it. But that's very accurate.
And here's one more. This is an exorcism.
The power of Christ compels you!
Oh, that's scary.
The power of Christ compels me?
Yeah. Hold on, one more. Oh,
perfect.
That was
that's
you.
A better scream.
That's actually Darren.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Well, this is a good segue into demonic possession.
Yeah.
As I said, she was sweet and loving when she wasn't possessed, and she displayed abnormal strength and began speaking different languages, according to CNN.
That's
if you've
so
seen
weird.
The Exorcist, you can imagine the look of it. Pastor Ernst Alt, which is a tough fucking name to say.
I was just going to say that.
Ernst Alt, who reportedly witnessed her lick up her own urine like a dog, also thought she was possessed. Fair. That's a fair assessment.
Ernst Alt is one of those names that you might come up with a like a beat to, like Ernst Alton.
It's definitely like a, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I get that rhythm.
Yeah, okay, good.
Well, he and Father Arnold Renz performed an exorcism on Annalise on September 25th. 1975. It marked the first of 67 exorcism sessions, according to the Washington Post.
And
the
67.
67. And the Washington Post notes that the priest carried out a 364-year-old formal rite of exorcism. So,
oh my gosh.
This has been around for centuries.
I'm assuming, I don't even know what this is. A formal rite is just sort of like the process of how to exorcise someone.
I guess it's like the protocol of what you do people are drinking their own urine. I'm not sure. They basically chain her to a bed or a chair and perform the rite of exorcism, according to the Telegraph. Most sessions were recorded via audio, which is interesting. And on the recordings, Annalise's possessed voices spoke, and they speak through her. John,
I'm good with the sound effects, right?
She was actually possessed not by one, but by a party of demons. Lucifer, Judas, Nero, Cain, even Hitler. Let's listen to an actual audio of the possession. We don't really have any way to authenticate that. Mm-hmm. This is a legitimate recording, but there are countless recordings of these exorcism sessions on YouTube, and they all sound very, very similar. I don't recommend watching by yourself alone in your apartment. Even watching in a group of people at my office at Bravo freaked me out. Yeah. So here's a little snippet.
Here we go. Matt's going to actually bring it over to us. Oh, I'm scared. I just got chills. Okay. We should have turned the lights on.
You know, if you listen really closely, doesn't it kind of sound like Andy Cohen?
It does.
Just a little.
From what I've known of Andy when we
just
were on the show.
A little.
Just a little like Andy.
But to Matt's point, when we were playing that actually back, you know, this is a small girl. She lives in an insanely religious household.
Yeah.
Could you imagine
listening
to this person say that? She's tiny. Her whole family must have been freaking out. It's absolutely terrifying if you've listened to it. And as you can hear, her voice is absolutely varied with different intonations. One is screeching and high-pitched. This is the one that we heard, and it's guttural and so masculine for such a petite girl.
Yeah.
Another voice allegedly is in Latin, and I don't think she ever even learned Latin or taught Latin. So something is absolutely going on here.
Ew.
Matt is showing us some before and after of Annalise, before the being possessed and after, and it is... Something is going on.
Yeah, she has. Can you describe it? Like,
well,
what would
before she looks like a normal, I mean, normal relative, a human being, right? Let's just say. And then afterwards, it looks like blood or something all over her mouth. Her eyes are very wide. She's all frazzled. She looks thinner than she, I mean, she almost doesn't look like the same person.
Yeah.
She looks gaunt, something
like that.
Exactly. It looks like someone who's completely malnourished and crazy.
Ugh. Well, so, I'm going to keep drinking my witch's tea.
Keep doing that. Yeah. Lucifer allegedly said through her, quote, "Oh, if you had an idea of how things stand below, the visionary children of Fatima have seen it. If you had an idea, you would be on your knees day and night at the tabernacle. I had to say it because the High Lady compels me to." The High Lady apparently refers to Our Lady.
Mm-hmm.
And Judas said, quote, "I'm damned for eternity, you careless people. If you could just imagine what it is to be damned for eternity, I am damned," end quote.
By the way, I love that we have quotes on the show from both Lucifer and Judas. So
that's a real...
This is journalism,
it's
folks.
Being supported. These are facts. Apparently, Annalise stopped eating. As I had said, she definitely looked different. She said that the demons wouldn't let her. She also refused medical intervention.
Mm.
Quote, "Mother, I'm afraid," she said at some point towards the end of her life, according to the Telegraph. On July 1st, 1976, Annalise died in her home at the age of 23. The Washington Post wrote that an autopsy blamed malnutrition and dehydration for her death. She apparently weighed only 68 pounds when she died.
Mm.
The home where she died now overlooks Annalise's final resting place. She's buried in a nearby graveyard under a wooden cross with the inscription, "Resting with God." According to CNN, quote, "Authorities later determined that it was Michelle's parents and two priests who were responsible for her death. German authorities put them on trial for murder, and they were found guilty of negligent homicide." However, as the Washington Post wrote, the prosecutor asked that the priest be fined and that the parents be found guilty, but not punished because they've already suffered enough. Quote, I know that we did the right thing because I saw the sign of Christ in her hands, end quote, her mother told the Telegraph. She was bearing stigmata, and that was a sign from God that we should exorcise the demons. She died to save other lost souls, to atone for their sins. So, I don't even know what to say about that.
I know, because it's a weird thing to go from, oh, she was possessed, to now these two priests are negligent.
And we did the right thing. I mean, and that's the thing. We, as lay people or whatever, can look at this and say, some psychotic thing is going on here. Right. This is not right. We don't know who to blame. What's happening? I highly encourage you guys to look up pictures of her just to kind of get the mental image. You clearly heard the audio recording. But as her parents, you know, to say like, oh, I know we did the right thing by having this, they're not freaked out that much by the exorcism at all. It almost seems like this happens. Yes, this justifies, you know, the devil existing. It's freaky.
Well, and also it made me wonder if, like, the parents were relieved that they finally don't have to deal with these things on a daily or weekly basis.
It's really hard to say. It's freaking me out.
Wouldn't it be great if you could have nutritious, Instagram-worthy meals every day without having to hit the farmer's market and chop up millions of fruits and veggies? Now you can get all of your superfoods super fast with Daily Harvest.
We recently tried Daily Harvest for the first time, and honestly, it's so delicious.
And not only delicious, it's seriously so quick and easy. For my smoothie, I just threw the cup of ingredients into the blender, added almond milk, and instantly had a delicious smoothie.
I honestly love that their produce is organic and unrefined, and it looks as amazing as it tastes.
I definitely agree. I love Daily Harvest.
Go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code MARTINIS to get 3 items free in your first box. That's promo code MARTINIS for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. Daily-harvest.com.
Well, that's the first part. Let's get into part two. This one, Darren, is an alien abduction. And I have to ask
I have a direct connection to this case as well.
You do? Oh, that's right. We talked about this. First off, let's get this out of the way.
Yeah.
Do you believe in aliens?
I think that the universe is too massive.
And vast.
And if we're saying aliens in terms of not Earth life, absolutely. 100%.
Have you ever seen an alien or a UFO of any type?
Matt?
Oh, right. Other than Matt.
Other than Matt.
Yes.
No. Mm. I have not.
Matt, how about you?
I have seen a UFO, and I was with about 6 friends.
Yeah.
It was in New York City. It used to have a rooftop deck, and we were all having dinner, and it flew over us, and all of us, for about 10 minutes, could not figure out what it was. It was
how,
not an airplane.
How high above
it
you?
It was quite high.
Yeah.
What did it look
it
like?
Was, saucer shaped. I know that's insane.
Convenient.
Yeah.
And it, and this is what, and we all of us sat there talking about what is it? What is it? You know, six adults who are very skeptical.
Yeah.
And then
adults is a relative term. Yeah.
And then it hovered and it just sat there in the sky and it was glowing. And then it went straight up so fast.
Could this have been a drone?
No way.
No, because he said he was young, right?
No. This is not that long ago. It wasn't a drone. A drone couldn't move this way.
It went
straight up so fast, like lightning fast, and we all watched it until it basically like disappeared into space.
Oh,
I mean,
when you're looking at it, how big was it? How far away was it, but how big was it? Was it like
it was hard to tell because it was already high up in the sky.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think it was bigger than it looked, but it was really hard to tell. But we all decided we had seen a UFO. I mean, no one could.
I mean, that's definitely weird.
Yeah.
This is the UFO sound effect. Go ahead, Matt. Continue.
Sounds
that's
like
all.
The start of
and I definitely
Aguilera
do
song.
Believe in alien life form.
Got it.
For sure.
Do you as well, John?
I do. And I don't know that I believe in the little green man type of
UFO.
Yeah,
I mean, that's.
But
yeah.
I agree with you in terms of I can't imagine we're the only people in this entire universe that are existing with life, you know? So
100%.
Yeah. Excuse me, I keep coughing.
All right, this story is great.
All right, let's get into this alien abduction. Travis Walton was a logger and the man at the center of one of the most famous alleged alien abduction cases ever. There's something important about him. If you watch him in interviews, which you can find on YouTube, you'll see he comes across as a pretty straight-laced, plain-spoken, rugged guy. He basically looks like a cowboy, and he seems like he'd be, like, you know, the last person to make up an elaborate alien hoax story. Although you never know.
Judge a book by its cover. Matt just told us.
Exactly.
It's all a hoax.
On November 5th, 1975, he was working with a logging crew in the, I want to make sure I say this right, Apache Sitgraves National Forest.
Sitgraves?
For those of you in Arizona, you can let us know how to say
that correctly. Sorry, Arizona.
He was riding in a truck along with six of his coworkers when they saw a saucer-shaped object hovering over the ground, not unlike Matt's story he just told. He said the UFO was making a high-pitched buzz. Matt, did you hear any buzzing in yours?
No noise whatsoever.
Just light.
I mean, it was too far away.
Got it.
Interesting. And it didn't sound like that sound effect I just made, right? No?
I don't think so.
Okay. I want to make sure here we go. It wasn't like that, right?
Definitely wasn't like that.
Okay, just making sure. I just want to make sure we get all the evidence. He says, quote, when we pulled up into the light where we had straight view, it was unmistakable. I yelled stop, and one of the guys in the back said, it's a spaceship or a flying saucer. It was less than 100 feet away. This is what he says to the Sun. He says, quote, it was a metallic glowing disc making some very strange sounds, to the Huffington Post. Quote, the closer I got to it, the more scared we all got, and they were swearing at me to get away from there, and when I got up close, it suddenly got louder and started to move. I jumped for cover and then jumped to run back to the truck, and that's when this blast of energy hit me, and I just felt this numbing shock go through my body. But the crew said it threw me through the air 10 or 20 feet, and I landed in a way that they were immediately certain it had killed me, and they fled. So imagine, like, just driving down with your coworkers, like maybe us here in this room.
Fun, like, company outing, yeah, if you will, yeah.
Maybe we're going down to Hale and Hardy down the street on Fifth Avenue. And a blast of beam throws Matt flying through the air.
I'd laugh.
I would probably laugh.
I would love that shit. That would be the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I definitely would flee, though.
I would flee, too.
No, bye,
definitely.
Dad.
Yeah.
Thanks. I would actually latch onto you and pull you up into the beam
I'd
with
saw
me
my arm
and say,
off,
take man. Her.
Absolutely.
Take her.
Yeah.
They'd be like, we don't want her. She's weird enough.
Well, Travis got out of the truck and walked towards the hovering craft. A beam of light suddenly shone from the saucer. It knocked him to the ground. As we mentioned, he was getting thrown around, apparently, all through the place. Quote, when it hit me, it was a stunning force. I did not see this blast of energy, but the men and the crew gave a statement to the sheriff's department and said it looked like a long blue flame. Others compared it to stepping on a landmine or grenade because it threw me through the air, he told the Sun. Imagine that.
That's insane.
That he didn't even see it, but the others did. Travis Walton said next thing he knew, he was in what seemed like a hospital room, surrounded by three short, bald creatures that were observing him. They left the room at some point, and another being who was wearing a helmet of sorts came in. This is a little too obviously science fiction to me, you know, like
just him being like little bald, green, yeah, you know, green men, but
one with a helmet.
But keep going, because I have a lot of comments on this.
That being led Walton to another room, the one with the helmet I'm talking about here, where three additional beings put a clear mask over his face. Then he said he blacked out. Quote, they stopped and stood there staring at me, and that stare was in my nightmares for many years after that. I couldn't tolerate that stare.
Mean, I get it.
I mean, sitting across from you, I'm like, why is she staring at me?
Totally.
It's very similar. I kind of get it.
I hope it gives you nightmares.
Next thing he knew, he was walking down a highway. The saucer was above him, leaving. 5 days had passed. So he's thinking he's just hanging out in this flying saucer, but 5 days had apparently passed. All the while, search crews were looking for Walton. And in the meantime, police were suspicious of the six men who claimed Walton was abducted by a UFO. According to the Express in the UK, they suspected that there was an argument and Walton had been murdered, and the crew hid the body and came up with some elaborate story to cover it up.
To be fair,
that makes sense.
That makes a lot more sense than being like, oh, a blue stream of light came out, shot him 10 to 20 feet in the air, and then there were three bald men staring at him.
And one had a helmet on. And,
yeah, 100%. Yeah.
In a documentary, one of the crew members said, quote, "We were a rough-looking bunch, and we're out there with chainsaws and some conflicts here and there." So they immediately started assuming they killed this guy. So again, just to play into this whole thing, there was some conflicts. Maybe some of the coworkers had been arguing. It seemed logical that he wasn't in space. He was murdered.
Yeah, I don't think the first thing you go to was like, oh, he's just abducted by a UFO.
Right. Well, UFOologist, or ufologist, if you want to call it that, Jim Ledwith said, according to Sonoma News, quote, "For 5 days, the authorities thought he'd been murdered by his coworkers, and then he was returned. All of the coworkers who were there, who saw the spacecraft, they all took polygraph tests, and they all passed, except for one, and that one was inconclusive." So now people are also taking polygraph tests.
Well, listen, they all are agreeing. It just seems, granted, people create elaborate hoaxes all the time.
Yeah.
But it does seem odd in 1975 to create this random story.
Right.
And all have the exact same account. You think later it would just come out being like, we were just joking. And 5 days to not know about his whereabouts.
That's crazy. To this day, Travis still stands by his story and has taken many lie detector tests to prove it. The entire crew also stands by their story. Travis actually has a website with some choice quotes from every one of the crew members. They include, here's a few, quote, "I know what I saw, and it wasn't anything from this earth." A second quote is, "I saw a bluish light come from the machine, and Travis went flying like he'd touched a live wire." Another quote, "That ray was the brightest thing I've ever seen in my whole life." Another quote, quote, "We couldn't believe what was happening. The horror was unreal." Two more here. One is, "The UFO was smooth and was giving off a yellowish-orange light." The last one?
Yeah, there's a blue light.
Uh-huh. Interesting. These stories aren't matching. The last quote here on this website, quote, "I've been working these woods for over 30 years, and this is still the damnedest thing that ever happened to me." So these guys are sticking to their story.
Yeah,
they're not
for sure.
They're not budging with this. Travis told The Sun, quote, "From the beginning, it was a battle against people trying to explain it away. The locals didn't want to believe it. The sheriff didn't want to believe it. You know, he thought it was a murder than a drug hallucination," which, okay,
if
that's
fair.
If
they were all out there doing LSD in the woods, right. You know, that concept of seeing bluish lights mushrooms or whatever you're doing does kind of track.
Mm-hmm.
It tracks. The fact that they all saw the same thing doesn't track. But
true.
That hallucination might track.
He also told the Washington Post, quote, "The scientific evidence of the likelihood of intelligent life in our vicinity has become so overwhelming that the people who believe that we're alone in the universe, those are the kooks."
Well, agreed, because it's too massive.
I believe that, too. In 1978, Travis wrote The Walton Experience. The book became the basis for the 1993 movie, Darren, Fire in the Sky. And you had seen Fire in the Sky, as I did. And was very disturbed, both of us.
Well,
right?
And as I was reading the story, that's exactly what happens in the movie. And the guy's name is Travis. And they're kind of, you know, lumberjack, blue-collary kind of guys. And they go out. And then Travis gets abducted. But I saw that movie when I was 4 years old.
Yeah, I was really young, yeah.
We were in Hawaii with my family. And my mom decided, like, oh, Fire in the Sky, like, that sounds kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Took me and my brother. We've been traumatized ever since. We bring this up to her all the time.
Yeah.
And there's a scene in that movie after he gets abducted where he's in this alien probe.
Yeah.
He describes it as a mask, but I remember them putting him in, like, a latex bodysuit.
Yes, yes.
Opening up the passages to his face, and he's, you know,
on
clamped
a table.
Down
yeah.
on a table, and then there's this needle probe.
Uh-huh.
The needle's probably, like, 10 inches long. Lowering down to his eye, and it cuts before you see it. But ever since then, my number one fear outside of spiders is going blind. That caused it for me.
Well, I just realized I have a huge fear of needles that I've had since I was a child, and I'm sure. Oh, Matt's leaving again. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt. You did a lot today.
He had a spill. Interesting. We could have gotten Matt something to do these martinis on. He's kind of just doing them on a plastic chair, but. Yeah, we don't have the budget for that. But yes, I
have a fear
of needles.
Fire in the sky.
Have to see fire in the sky. I also have a crazy story that I think an agency interacted with me regarding UFOs. I will not share it on the show because I don't want them chasing me.
What a bitch. All the audience members right now are like, what?
I was just going to say, if you see me in real life, maybe we're going to have another live show or something. I would be happy to tell you in real life, but I do not want agencies like the X-Files to be hanging out at my doorstep.
Well, we're going to have to offline about that.
Yes, we will definitely offline.
Delve into the shadows of the mind. With Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best
to Let Sleeping Dogs Lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Let's get into part three now.
Yeah, we like to call this part reincarnation.
Yes.
Do you believe in reincarnation?
I have thought about this a lot over the years because there are whole religions that kind of really sure. focus and believe this. I personally do not. And okay. I think the reason is maybe this is just my own perception of how my brain works, but I feel like if everyone had been reincarnated, or if I had been reincarnated, I should say, wouldn't I have been feeling something? And all the reincarnation stories, that, especially these what we're going to hear, not to pull anything away from them, I think they're scientific, actually, which right. is interesting. But it's a person who believes that they may have come from one other person's soul. But I'm like, well, what about that person?
Or your
person?
Soul gets regenerated to be another
exactly.
life. Right.
But what about that original soul? Had that person been regenerated? So for me, I look at it from a perspective that I just don't really believe the science of it, and I believe science first. That's kind of how I'm looking
at it. I totally get that. Interesting.
Yeah, so this is a tense moment.
Oh, my God. It's a good intro to this story.
Yeah, go ahead, Darren.
Dr. Ian Stevenson was a psychiatrist who was once the chair of the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Virginia School of Medicine. Good fade out, John.
Thank you.
He also founded the University Division of Perceptual Studies, which explored paranormal things, and he became known for his research of reincarnation. He actually wrote a book called Children Who Remember Previous Lives. I've read a number of books about reincarnation. We can offline about that as well.
No, tell us some things that you've thought, too.
Well, I'm more of a science person as well. Yeah. I sort of believe, like, when you're dead, you're dead. But I read this story from the 60s called The Search for Bridie Murphy, which is about a famous hypnotist who hypnotizes a bunch of different subjects, and they recorded these subjects, and you can buy the tapes online. And long story short, because it goes through this whole history of it, this woman gets hypnotized, takes many, 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 many sessions to kind of get deeper and deeper and deeper, go back. She remembers being this like 4-year-old Irish girl living in Ireland. This is like a 50s Midwestern mom, 4-year-old girl in Ireland, named, it's called The Search for Bridie Murphy. So her name is Bridie yeah. Murphy. And she remembers dying by falling down a set of stairs and like what God. Happens after. And it tracks, like they know wow. there's history of this girl existing. And that was kind of the only time I ever read anything where it's like, you know, matter's neither created nor destroyed. There's an energy to it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you can make an argument. It's very fascinating to think about. But again, I'm definitely I don't know if it's not science. I don't know. But right. there's tons of stories out there.
Like this one.
Dr. Ian Stevenson actually had 3,000 case studies
wow.
All across the world. And
that's a lot.
Yeah,
that's
a lot. It's a lot.
It's that's also one of those things you don't hear about that often.
I think because when you say it, it sounds bunk.
Trivial, yeah.
You know, and it just – I don't think people – I think they want to believe it, but they're very skeptical mm-hmm. of it. And, you know, having no memory of it, having to be hypnotized. Right. If you can't see something in front of your face, it's going to be a hard sell.
That's kind of where I am, yeah.
So Dr. Stevenson was respected by many because he approached the studying of reincarnation in a very scientific way. This was in the 60s, 70s, 80s, before our time, not before yours, Matt. He focused on children, often between the ages of 3 and 5, who remembered a past life and would have very specific details about that life. They would be able to describe their homes, their previous relatives, how they had died, just like I said in Search mm-hmm. for Bridie Murphy. In some cases, birthmarks corresponded to some kind of wound that led to their death. Now, this has tracked to me. I've read many lives, many masters. There's been a number of different books about this.
Really?
Talked about this with therapists over the years, because you're born with birthmarks, and I have birthmarks on my body, and some of them could be like, some of them
on
could
places
look like,
we can't talk about.
Yeah. Those are my sensitive
That's kind bits. Of what I thought you were about to say.
And one looks like a vagina. It's very weird. I can pee out of it. It's so odd.
How weird.
But some of them I'm like, I don't remember that being there. I don't remember how I got it. So it's fascinating.
Do you believe you were reincarnated, Darren?
I came from a cat. Absolutely. I was definitely a cat in a previous life.
I kind of see that. Keep going. Yeah.
Martinis and Murder has the best fans in the world.
We've gotten some really cool gifts from fans that we absolutely adore.
We've had fans send in handmade candles, t-shirts, and the gorgeous blood-spattered martini glasses we use in the show.
And what about those drawings people made of Matt?
Yeah, I use them for dart practice.
Oh, good. Yeah, hit a bullseye for me.
I bet all of our Crafty fans would love Craftsy. It's the online destination for people who just can't help but be creative.
Craftsy is an awesome tool for anyone who knits or sews, cooks or bakes, draws, takes photos, and lots more. With 16 creative categories to choose from, there's definitely something for everyone.
Craftsy's website offers supplies for whichever activity you're into. Materials like patterns and recipes to help you get started. Plus, they feature over 1,000 classes and video tutorials led by crafting experts.
So for all our fans who want to take their creativity to the next level and maybe share some awesome handmade treats with their favorite podcast hosts, head over to craftsy.com and enter the coupon code MARTINIS to get your first class free.
That's Craftsy, CRAFTSY.com to get your first class free with the coupon code MARTINIS.
Craftsy.com, unleash your creativity.
I don't know. I do get it because I'm like, if I have a good life now, does that mean I had a terrible life before? I was like such a good person before.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay. Fair.
Shit to think about.
All right.
So again, he focused on children. In some cases, birthmarks were there. He told Omni magazine, quote, "I cannot emphasize too strongly that a child who is going to remember a previous life has only about 3 years in which he will talk about it. Before the age of 2 or 3, he lacks the ability. After 5, it's too much."
This convinced me because I was like, yeah, you know, like you can't speak until you're about 2 or 3. But then after you get to like 5 years old, you're kind of aware of the world around you in a different
way.
So I get this.
And some of your first memories are between, you know, you're learning a whole language from 0 to 5.
Is that what happened to you, Harriet?
Yes, I know. I have a whole story about how I think I was Harriet Tubman. We'll talk about it after the show.
Can I call you Harriet?
I would prefer not.
That seems like a really... like specific. Perfectly demeaning thing to call you around the office.
No.
Oh, hello, Harriet.
No, I have a whole thing where when I was younger, I had an extreme interest in Harriet Tubman. Like, for some reason, I remember learning about it in school and just being very connected to her. And even all through college, like, I read her biography and, like, all these different things. I just felt very, very, very connected to her in some weird way. I'm not saying I'm reincarnated, but even my mom was like, yeah, you always kind of had a thing about Harriet Tubman. And I was like, really?
That's, like, the most random thing
it's
ever.
So random.
Were you campaigning to have her on the $10 bill or whatever that
I
was?
I was. I signed all that stuff.
You're like, I want to be on the $10
bill. I want to be
bill.
On the $20 bill.
So Dr. Ian Stevens is actually quoting, I'm quoting from Omni Magazine, which he said, "Obviously children are too young to have absorbed a great deal of information, especially about deceased people in some distant town. In the better cases, they couldn't have known about them. In many of our cases in Northwest North America and Burma, people in the same family or village are involved. So there's a likelihood that some adult or older child has talked about a deceased person and the child has absorbed the information, as our questioning makes clear. This is not, however, an issue in most cases I cite in India, many of which involve long distances, 25 to 50 kilometers or more, with no contact between the villages. Often the child has quite precise details."
And I'm of two minds about this when I was reading about it. One is, I think we have to remind everyone that cell phones were not around.
Yeah, this is not an internet hoax that people are reading off of.
Something wasn't tweeted and spread across the globe instantly. So communication didn't move the same way it did then as it does now.
Right.
That being said, I still don't think 25 to 50 kilometers is like, you know, the amount of space it takes for someone to be reincarnated or for someone to not know information.
But for a child to remember precise details like that is, I don't know.
No, I
interesting
agree.
Enough.
Yeah.
Also, at this time, when he was working in India, most people did. It was very rare for a person to have a
Oh, even more of
even,
a point.
Even crazier.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
He also said, Dr. Stevenson, "I've reported on a case of a child who claimed to have been his own paternal grandfather and had 2 pigmented moles in the same spots on his body that his grandfather did. It's said in such instances that genetics is responsible, but one wonders why the one grandchild in 10 who had the moles claimed to remember his grandfather's life. Or take congenital malformations. Children born with deformed limbs or even without fingers, toes, hands have claimed to remember being murdered and state that the murderer had removed these fingers, toes, or hands during the killing. In such situations, the approach would be to ask the child to explain the birth defect, but I don't approve of pumping children if they don't want to talk."
So he's basically saying, we're letting them speak. We're not going to give them any more information than what they're willing.
I'm not going to feed it to them, but
yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be one of those people that hears one thing one time and is like, oh, that absolutely 100%. Yeah. Matt was abducted by aliens. Like, this is 100% true, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But there's so many cases like this, and yeah. I have read a number of books about it.
Interesting.
And I think, I'm not saying reincarnation exists, but the idea of energy or a soul. Mm-hmm.
No, and you know what's so funny? I'm thinking, as we sit here in 2017,
yeah.
in 1,000 years, maybe they've tapped into figuring out how this stuff works, and they're listening to the show being like, how stupid are these people in 2017?
And if you think about it, maybe people aren't necessarily saying this because there's a lot of religious undertones with it.
Totally.
And
yeah.
if that is the case, it,
same with aliens.
It might say that there's no heaven, no hell, yeah. and that's huge. And
right.
so all of these people's beliefs are going to
totally.
Be questioned. And so it's very interesting.
Well, here's another quick one. We're going to talk about Luke and Pam. There was a more recent case written about by a Fox affiliate in 2015 where a young boy in a Cincinnati suburb kept talking about a woman named Pam. His mom told Fox, quote, he used to say when I was a girl, I had black hair, or he would say, I used to have earrings like that when I was a girl. Which, okay, it's one thing to like say, oh, I like earrings, or I like this
girl's hair. If I was a girl, I'd wear this, maybe.
Being able to say when I was a girl, like in a past tense, is very, very.
That's deliberate.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely weird. So the mom finally tried to pinpoint what the boy was saying. She said, I was like, who is Pam? Out of frustration. And that's when he turned to me and looked at me and said, well, I was. And I was like, what do you mean you were? And he's like, well, I used to be, but I died. I went up to heaven and I saw God and he pushed me back down. And when I woke up, I was a baby and you named me Luke. That's a lot for a kid to know.
That's a lot for a mother to hear.
Yeah, definitely. I just got a note from Matt. I want to interrupt briefly because I think this is a really good idea. He says, should we ask fans to call in their paranormal experiences?
100%.
And we'll play some of them on the show. I think we could do a whole show about these, actually.
100%. So send us any weird shit.
Absolutely. If you have a paranormal experience that you yourself have experienced, call us on our hotline. All of that information is in the show description. You can actually just press it and call us if you're using an iPhone or an Android device. Okay, so back to Pam and Luke. So she began to ask him more questions. I decided to go ahead and ask him further, do you remember how you died? And he looked right at me and he said, well, yeah, it was a fire. And then he made like a motion with his hand like he was jumping off of a building. Again, this is a child.
What?
How could a child, even if it's told this, be able to
reenact? And they have active imaginations.
Exactly.
But they usually, not like this.
Luke ended up telling his mom that it was a tall building in Chicago where he used to take the train. The mom did some research and found the case of the Paxton Hotel, a residential hotel in a predominantly African-American neighborhood. These vampire martinis are getting the best of me. Mm-hmm. According to the New York Times, 15 people were killed in that building by a fire in 1993. The Times states, quote, a ferocious fire swept through a transient hotel on the city's near north side, trapping tenants and sending others leaping from windows to escape the flames. Does that sound familiar? Luke's mom said, you know, I just asked him, I was very casual about it, like, Luke, what color was Pam's skin? And he just looked right up at me and said, duh, black. So not
predominantly
only that,
African-American neighborhood.
Right.
How would he know that? That
right.
seems very odd. He could have been like blue, you know,
anything,
like a
yeah.
kid imagination.
Of course. Right. Luke's mom told Fox that she found out a woman named Pamela Robinson, who was in her 30s, had jumped out of a mm-hmm. window to her death. So Luke's mom printed out a picture of Pam, put it on a sheet of paper with a bunch of fake pictures. She said, I didn't really think he was going to pick the right one. But not only did he point to the actual photo of Pam, he said, are you ready for this? This gave me chills when I read
yeah.
it. He said, I remember when this one was taken. Oh,
come
my God.
On, people.
Oh, my God. Interestingly, Luke's mom said eventually he sort of moved on and let her go and got it out of his system. She said at some point, quote, he had nothing more to say about it. And I think there's a little bit here to talk about how reincarnation works in terms of gender. You know,
right.
here's this young boy and just sexuality in general who remembers his life as a woman.
But so casual about it. You know,
yeah.
like when I was a woman, I used to like that color or I had my hair like this
right.
or I wore this. I mean, it seems to even be not an issue.
Yeah, and it's
like it's a natural thing to be another gender.
And it's also not something that you necessarily know just by existing. You almost have to be taught that or experience that or be a part of a society where you're aware of those types of things. So
what's freaking me out is like knowing who I am now, was I attacked by a bunch of spiders in my previous life?
I believe
what
you
happened?
You were eaten alive by a giant dinosaur-sized spider.
100%.
Absolutely.
I believe it.
I believe that
no,
too.
No, no. You were a WWE wrestler in your past life.
Uh-huh. I could have been an American Gladiator, but
that's
okay.
True.
Yeah, yeah, maybe an American Gladiator is one of the other.
I mean,
Let's wrap this part up here. In the Omni magazine interview with Dr. Stevenson, the reporter asked, the possibility of sex change puts the question of homosexuality and gender confusion in a new light, doesn't it? So Dr. Stevenson answered, quote, yes, when it was fashionable to ascribe all emotional disorders to the ineptitude of one's parents, cases of gender identity confusion were blamed on parents. A biological explanation, such as Klinefelter syndrome, a genetic condition in which a male is born with an extra X or female chromosome, can explain some but not all cases. Western psychiatrists and psychologists do not have a satisfactory explanation for this, whereas in Southeast Asian cultures, gender identity confusion is considered one result of reincarnation and taken calmly. Reincarnation ought to be considered as a possible explanation, at least some of the time.
Which is fascinating, if that's actually the case.
So basically, to sum this up, because those were a lot of kind of like smart people terms, what I think he's trying to say here, as I paraphrase, is maybe attributing what I think we now call as transgender could be potentially should be thought of
reincarnation,
a potential reincarnation of someone else.
Blip, you know, like you just don't know you're having trouble with your past life.
Right.
I don't know. It's just crazy to think about. I'm not going to say yes or no.
No, of course, no one knows.
But I think having all the cases, just it's something to research
to think about
and to consider. It's not maybe not just, you know, a pie in the sky, a fire in the sky type of idea. Like, I don't, it's all very fascinating.
Absolutely. Well, let's go to one more here.
Yes, this is about Swarn Lata Mishra and Bia Pathak. So most of the details of this case, which Matt happened to study in college, came from carolbauman.com. Carol Bauman is a successful author and path life regression therapist. She cites Dr. Stevenson's case study of Swarn Lata and Bia. Wait, what did you major in college?
English.
Oh,
which I
but
did
this
as
was,
well.
This was
so
a
don't say
this was a
maybe.
Random course. It was called Death and Dying.
By the
and
way,
it was
that's cool.
It was one of the best classes
that
I ever
took. That sounds really
my
cool.
Favorite class was Death in the Afterlife. I took it in. It was a religion class and it was fascinating.
And by the way, Darren, your thought was the same as mine. So I went to Matt's LinkedIn today and I was like, I just want to see what he majored in. So
English.
I can confirm it was English and I was too. So shout out to English majors.
So Swarn Lata Mishra was in Pradesh, India in 1948. She was traveling with her dad at age 3 past a town called Katni, which was more than 100 miles away from their home. She suddenly asked the driver to turn down a street so they could go to my house.
So 100 miles away from home.
Yes.
And they're driving by someplace she's never seen. And
she said, let's pop in.
Oh, that's my house.
Eventually, she began to describe what her life had been like in great detail when she lived with Cotney, and her father began to write down the things that she was saying. Very smart.
Yes, definitely.
So she said her name was Bia Pathak, Patak, and that she had 2 sons. She gave details of the house where she had lived. She said it was white with black doors fitted with iron bars. 4 rooms were stuccoed, but other parts were less finished. The front floor was of stone slabs.
That's a
that
lot of detail.
That is elaborate enough to just, I wouldn't think about 4 rooms were stuccoed.
No.
Like, if I'm creating a hoax, it's going to be like, yeah, black and white.
Yeah. And by the way, the way you're she describes these things are for almost like visions or memories. It's not like this was built on 1978.
No, it's like I remember, it's just how we remember certain
right.
things, you know? Swarn Lata said Bia died of a pain in her throat, and she was treated by Dr. S.C. Babrat. She also recalled a memory from a wedding when she and a friend couldn't find a toilet. We all been there, sweetie. We all had those memories. Just peeing our martinis like Matt does. In 1959, when Swarn Lata was 10 years old, a colleague of Dr. Stevenson named Professor Sri H.N. Banerjee got wind of the story and tried to find out if Swarn Lata's memories could be validated.
Mm.
She was a perfect case because the people in the villages had no connections, and she had claimed to have died not that long ago. And unlike most children remembering past lives, her memories did not fade. This is unusual, according to Dr. Stevenson.
Yeah.
He was able to find the home based on the little girl's description. The house did indeed belong to a family with the last name Paddock, which
Again,
okay.
It's not like she had an iPhone in her hand and looked up someone's address.
Dr. Banerjee, interviewed the Pathak family. Turns out, Swarnlata's memories all matched up. Baya Pathak had died in 1939. She had two young sons. Listen to this passage from CarolBauman.com. In the summer of 1959, Bia's husband, son, and eldest brother journeyed to the town of Chhatapur, the town where Swarnlata now lived, to test Swarnlata's memory. They did not reveal their identities on purpose to others in the town, but enlisted 9 townsmen to accompany them to the Mishar home, where they arrived unannounced. Swarnlata immediately recognized her brother and called him Babu, Bia's pet name for him.
Weird.
Stevenson gives only the barest facts, but I can imagine the emotions ran high at this point. Imagine how Babu felt to be recognized immediately by his dead sister, reborn.
Ugh, I just got chills again.
10-year-old Swarnlata went around the room looking at each man in turn. Some she identified as men she knew from her town. Some were strangers to her. Then she came home to Sri Chintamini Pandey, Bia's husband. Swarnlata lowered her eyes, looked bashful, as Hindu wives do in the presence of their husbands, and spoke his name. Stevenson says nothing of Sri Pandey's reaction at finding his wife after 20 years.
Also, by the way, good job with some of those names of towns and things.
I got it all wrong. India's probably very upset with me right now, but I tried.
I think you did a good job.
We just lost like 5 of our Indian
listeners.
Definitely.
They're like, assholes!
They're blocking and deleting us as we speak.
I'm also a little drunk. Shortly after Swanlata's dad took her to Katni to visit Bia's home, when she arrived, she remarked about the renovations to the home. She identified Bia's bedroom and the room in which she had died. She recognized and correctly identified all of her relatives and called her second brother by his pet name, Babu. She commented that a close family friend was now wearing glasses, which he had acquired after Bia had died. Do you have a brain exploding?
I am, and I just
iPhone thing.
I wanted to maybe wait till the end here, but I think what I have to say is like,
what?
Is she experiencing these things with the personality of herself or with the personality of this person she's reincarnated?
But it almost
from?
Sounds like it's two separate things. Like you can even how Luke did it in the story that you were telling. It's like it's totally normal. This just feels like part of their life. They don't. Mm. It's not like, oh my God, I can't believe I remember this. It's like it's coming to them from something else.
Yeah. Matt, what do you think?
Oh, I was just saying, researching this, I think she ends up getting married and having a family and having a whole life. And, you know, so she's comfortable with the knowledge and still has affection for these people, but she also has a new experience.
It's interesting that you say it like that, like with the knowledge. Like it's in her head and she has it. This is why I think mediums are real, because this type
of
stuff...
Not all of them are, but
not all of them, but I do believe that kind of stuff exists because it's almost a similar, like you have a vision in your head, whether you had it at birth or whether you're getting it later, in my opinion.
If my girlfriend said these things that she is saying and she's like, oh yeah, I was married to a guy or girl, whatever previous life, would I be jealous? Would she be cheating
question.
On me? It's very hard to know. These
that's
things,
for you to figure out, Darren.
We're going to have a talk
off
later,
the
honey.
Air,
a talk later.
Yes.
So she identified Bia's bedroom and the room in which she had died. She recognized and correctly identified all of her relatives, as I said. The Pathak family actually tested her during the visit. They gathered a room full of strangers, mixed with people Bia had known, and Swarnlata identified every single person correctly.
And how old is she?
10.
10.
She's 10 years old. I can barely recognize half my coworkers.
I know, me.
And I'm 29. Here's a passage from CarolBauman.com. In another test, Bia's youngest brother tried to trap Swarnlata by saying that Bia had lost her teeth. Swarnlata did not fall for this and went on to say that Bia had gold fillings in her front teeth, a fact that the brothers had forgotten and were forced to confirm by consulting with their wives, who reminded them that what Swarnlata said was true. We'll leave you alone. With one more passage from CarolBauman.com, because I'm already peeing my pants
out.
Vampire piss.
And I just have to say, what she's writing about is Dr. Stevenson's case file on this. So the whole thing is taken from his case file.
Here's the last passage. In the following year, Swarnlata visited the Pathak family at regular intervals. Stevenson investigated the case in 1961, witnessing one of these visits. He observed the loving relationship between Swarnlata and the other members of the family. They all accepted her as Bia reborn. Swarnlata behaved appropriately reserved towards Bia's elders, but when alone with Bia's sons, she was relaxed, relaxed and playful as a mother would be, behavior that would be otherwise totally inappropriate in India for a 10-year-old girl in the company of unrelated men in their mid-30s. Yeah.
That almost
makes me want to cry.
Come on, that's crazy. Even tradition-wise, like, you wouldn't create that just for the hoax of it all.
No, definitely not. I just think that it's so odd that there's so much scientific evidence about this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, that's the thing that, and I'll be honest, I never really looked into reincarnation as we were talking earlier.
I'm giving you books tomorrow.
Yeah,
I have a couple. I want you to read them. And it's kind of fascinating.
Because from a scientific perspective, it sounds like he's doing this the right way. I would love to read more about it. So,
well, that's it for our Halloween spooktacular episode. We wanted to get a little something light. So our listener shout-outs, which we like to get to.
And we hope, by the way, you loved all the annoying little sound effects that I've been adding here throughout the day. Oh, a raven just flew by.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's very Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Let me start off by Kim on Instagram, who wrote this one of Matt the Bartender's posts. I'm imagining standing in my kitchen making dinner, minding my own business. I look up and bam, Matt is swinging in my backyard before he murders me. This is not how I expected to go down.
And again, that's on Matt's Instagram account.
But think about it. If Matt kills you, you'll come back to life.
Oh.
Re-listen to the podcast.
Ooh.
And remember that he's the asshole that murdered you.
With an orange
peel.
And
then we can finally get him in jail.
That would be, oh my gosh.
So I'm encouraging this.
Finally. Veronica on Twitter says, quote, oh my God, Matt from Martinis and Murder followed me back on Instagram. On Instagram, John,
wow,
focus
drunk.
Your drunk face.
Are you possessed?
I think I am. Let me start
Lucifer.
That one over. I love that we quoted Lucifer on the show.
Yeah, quote, Lucifer said.
Lucifer says, quote, anyway, Veronica on Twitter says, oh my God, Matt from Martinis and Murder followed me back on Instagram. Good thing there's no citrus in my house.
Good thing, girl.
And I would just like to thank Veronica. That was a very hard time for me. I'm still recovering from the orange peel.
Still in recovering.
Let's get to some voicemails. We will be checking. No, did Matt just throw something else? I just ducked
candy
out of the
corn.
Way. Witch's teeth.
Like green apple candy corn, by
oh,
the way.
Oh God. No, don't throw it at me. All right, we have candy corn flying through
candy
the studio.
Corn.
All right, well, this is from Sarah in Memphis talking about a case suggestion. So let's listen to that.
Great.
Hey, y'all. This is Sarah calling from Memphis, Tennessee. And I just wanted to say I love y'all's podcast. I've listened since day one. And I look forward to it every week. I think it's really interesting. And I like the way you cover the cases. I had a suggestion for y'all. I know y'all are doing the Jodi Arias stuff right now, but there's actually something that just kind of gained attention again. It's the Jessica Chambers case. It's really interesting even to me because it's kind of mysterious. No one even, I'm from Mississippi and we don't really know what happened to her, but her trial's going on right now and I think it might be something y'all want to look into. So she was burned alive and it's something that I just can't, no one really knows what happened. And even in the trial, I know y'all like to look into cases where people are accused and it's kind of iffy if they were guilty or not. She claims that somebody else killed her, but the guy on trial is not that person. But anyway, y'all are great. Love y'all. Keep it up. And I look forward to listening more. Bye.
Great. Thank you so much, Sarah. That's a great suggestion.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Because good news, Oxygen is actually developing a show about the Jessica Chambers case. And I'm sure when the time comes, we'll likely do an episode of her on here on Martinis and Murder as well. And I agree, it is fascinating. That's all we can really say right now. But be on the lookout on our social media accounts for more updates about Jessica Chambers.
I just wanted to do one more voicemail before we
I love this one.
We sign out. This is actually from TJ from Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And he is doing something nice for us. So let's listen.
Hi, Darren. Hi, John. This is TJC from Oklahoma City. And I just wanted to let you guys know your show is amazing and you both kick ass. I have now officially caught up to you guys and I've listened to every episode and I'm getting ready to listen to the most recent one now. And also wanted to let you know that I am a knitter and I plan on making both of you guys scarves, because I know up in New York City, winters are very long and very cold. But again, those will be heading your way. I'm going to start working on those shortly, so hopefully I'll have them done sometime this winter for you guys. You both are amazing. Please keep up the good work. I love the show. I hope it's on for years and years. Love you both. Bye-bye.
TJ.
Oh, my God.
Winter is coming.
Well, here's...
I love a scarf.
I know. By the way, I have a whole, like, thing of scarves at home that I need to donate that are just old and smelly. So I would welcome a new scarf
into my
life.
Make sure it's long enough for us to hang Matt. Just a pleasant thought to leave you with.
I'm so excited to like see what that could be.
Yeah, thank you so much for this. If anyone is listening and wants to send fan mail to us, you can do so by checking out the address in the description of this episode. Remember to follow Matt the Bartender on Instagram. Follow us.
Us.
Because if Matt gets more Instagram followers than us, I'm killing myself.
He's like almost halfway there for me at least.
And then I'm going to come back
and
be an Instagram sensation.
We should have a race to see who can get to like
who can reincarnate 10, faster. Come on. Embryos.
I want to be Harriet Tubman.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode of Martinis and Murder. Thanks again, everybody. And
thank you.
By the way, don't forget paranormal stories. Send them to us on our hotline.
Please.
Love to listen and
tell us
read
about
those.
UFOs there you and go. If you believe in reincarnation.
See you guys next week.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.